If you can get the slides on there, yeah, that'll be forever now. That's stuck. Well, I wonder if you've ever been to a place where you feel like a bit of a stranger. You ever been to a place like that? And obviously with the team going to India, when they go to Delhi, some of the team after going to Salem, which is where the orphanage is, they go to Delhi. There's a few more tourists and things in Delhi. But in Salem, like you stand out like a sore thumb, right? As I said before, when I met my friend Bright years ago and I asked him about Salem, he said, oh, it's a rural town. You know, I'm thinking a little country town. He said, how many people live there? I asked him, how many people live there? And he said, 3 million people. And that's a little rural town. But you do feel like a stranger there, right? The other time I remember feeling like a stranger is I was studying world religions and we went for the day in all around the main streets of Lakemba. It's what a place that is now. You can feel like a bit of a stranger, right? Anyone been there recently, like in the main town there? It's a whole other world, isn't it? Yeah, been there. It's very strange. Well, what we're finding in our nation is that we're starting to become strangers in our own nation. Did you know that? Now, a lot of you already know this, and the pace of that change for me has been surprising, even in my lifetime, even the last 10 years, even the last 5 years. The pace that culture is changing around us has been surprising. And I suspect, possibly for those that are of an older generation that have seen it change even more so, it's pretty tough, right? And we need to acknowledge that it is difficult. Now we know in our nation that Indigenous Australians were the first people, first owners of this land. It was their land, and we know about that history. But we also know that our English heritage, right, is a Judeo-Christian heritage, isn't it? And we know that's what the Western world has been built on, this Judeo-Christian heritage and Christian values. Everyone nod, say, yes, you understand. Yes, we understand that's where, even though it's being denied, this is where these values come from that has brought freedom and all these things. But what we're seeing now is that the world's changing and those values are changing. And what we once thought we knew was a Christian country is all of a sudden not. And it's a bit scary, it's a bit confusing. And we need to start talking as a church, how do we respond to that? What are we going to do? Are we going to run and hide? Now, it's not the only example, and I hate using the same example a lot, but I mean, one of the ways we see that is around the whole gender debate and all that's going on there, right? And sometimes you just shake your head and go, how did we get to this point, right, where you're not allowed to put your gender on your birth certificate? You know, states are voting that you can't put whether it's a boy or a girl on the birth. I mean, it's getting insane, right? And we had all that, the marriage debate, and any Christians who said this is going to change our values were sort of crushed and put down. But now we're seeing, right, it's the new normal. And it's coming into, you might not know, it's coming into kids' shows, cartoons, Disney, little cartoon movies for the kids. This gender, these values about gender are coming into that. It's being told to the kids through that. It's crazy, right? Values that we thought, well, this will never happen in my lifetime. And it's all changing. It's coming into schools. At the moment, they're talking about forcing values on Christian schools, and then it's not much of a leap to see how they're going to force certain values on what? On churches. Our nation, our culture is changing. Now, this is only one example around some of that gender stuff, but there's a whole lot of ways, isn't there, where we can see that we're starting to get a bit of a taste that we don't quite fit in anymore. My values based on the Bible it doesn't quite seem to match what's happening in our nation. Anyone else feeling this? It's starting to happen, isn't it? And yet at the same time, well, you can go down to Warners Bay and it's okay to put a statue down at Warners Bay of Darwin. It's okay down at Warners Bay to put a statue of a Buddhist monk child. But try and ask council to put a statue of Jesus or a cross down there. Well, you're going to get shot down pretty quick, aren't you? Don't put any of that. That's a Buddhist monk child is what it is, if you're wondering what that is, down there. Now, I've got nothing wrong with being inclusive of people. That's fine. But it's just interesting that we've come from a culture, right, where it would have been Christianity to the forefront, and these other things would have been seen, right, as kept aside. And now the culture is changing, and it's like Christianity's got to go to the side. So what are we to do? What is going on? How did it happen? How does culture suddenly deny the influence that Jesus and the church has had on building the freedom that we enjoy and the culture we enjoy? Now, the interesting thing about all this is when you read your Bible, in fact, if you read when the church began and you read the whole New Testament, the church was never the dominant culture or ruling political party at the time. Did you know that? Most of you know that, don't you? And so what we think is strange, what we think is really strange, the Bible kind of looks at it and goes, well, that's kind of normal. And so in some ways, I actually think the New Testament's actually becoming more relevant because we're becoming like what it was then. And so while we think this is ridiculous that we're not a Christian nation and these other values come in, this is how the church began. And in fact, if you go and read Revelation, I believe this is in fact how the church is going to end. It's going to end under persecution. And Revelation talks about celebrating the martyrs in those end times. So from what I can see, it's not going to be the church taking over the culture, and it probably shouldn't as well. Well, when we read that 1 Peter chapter before, 1 Peter 1, Rihanna, can you just click on the screen? Here we go. This is the start of 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, what does he call them? Strangers. And then he doubles down on this saying a bit later on in chapter 2. That's, there we go. Dear friends, I urge you, and this time he's got two words, aliens and strangers. It's getting even more strange, isn't it? We're not even from the same planet. And he writes this letter to these Christians who are suffering, who are hurting. And he doesn't say, well, look, Jesus came to overthrow the governments. So what you need to do is pick up your swords and go and make sure you kill all the political leaders and take over. In fact, no, Jesus didn't do that, and we'll get to that later on. But yes, we should lobby governments for godly values, and we'll talk about that in a minute as well. But in our confusion and our anger and our fear with what's happening in our culture, when we're feeling like strangers, we are not to just go, oh, well, Jesus isn't working anymore. Maybe Jesus he's given up. You know, he's given up on Australia. The church is just going to die out. Well, in fact, the victory and the power of the church is not relying on any political government at all. Do you know that? Victory is resting in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's a guaranteed victory. It's a rock solid victory. Now, maybe if we get to our knees and pray, and I don't just mean for 1 minute in the morning, maybe if the church in Australia rises up and really gets to our knees and prays and commits to God, we might see revival. Yes? Who wants to see that? I mean, if the church would really get to their knees and really just be dedicated and praying to this, just maybe we might see revival in our nation. But if this is the new normal, if the new normal is like Bible times, where I feel like an alien and a stranger, what are we going to do? Are we going to crawl into our hole and cry? Are we going to close our mouths, close the doors, lock up? What are we going to do if this is the new normal? Hey, buddy. What's the law? Well, as the team prepares to go to India, I started to reflect on this week, and this is why I want to talk about this today. And I wanted to talk about what I've seen and learnt in India and from the people there that can apply to us. Now, India is not a perfect nation. We're not going to say, well, the Indian church is perfect. They've got no problems. So the Australian church needs to be like India. We're not even going to say ICMC is perfect. They're made of broken people. They've got struggles as well. So we're not talking about somehow raising the Indian church and their heaven and we're these low Australian church. No, but what we do know is that they have been living as strangers and aliens for a long time in their nation. You know that, don't you? India, majority Hindus who don't like Christians. There's a large population, I guess it's probably about 80-something percent are Hindu. Then you've got maybe between 10 to 15% Muslim is another big group. And then you've got a very small but growing Christian church in India. Despite persecution, church is growing. And so the Christians in India that we've got to meet and to do life with a ministry, they've been living as strangers. So I thought, maybe we can just have a bit of reflection on some things that they're doing to live as strangers and aliens, because our nation is starting to feel like that. Do you follow? So let's see what... I mean, they've really got to do it. And we're just at the start of this journey. We need to learn what it means to live as an alien and a stranger. Now, there's a whole lot of difficulty being a Christian in India. We've talked before. Compassion-sponsored children. The government shut down their whole program. 147,000 sponsor kids in India. And the government just said, no more money from Compassion into India. Gone. 147,000 kids that were sponsored. Gone. They've shut down thousands of schools, orphanages, hospitals, colleges. They just, anything that's Christian, they find a way to try and close them down. They're living as aliens and strangers. ICMC themselves, the Indian Christian Mission Center, Pastor Jay's been in prison, they've had their life threatened, they've had all sorts of false accusations. It's just, it's tough going. All while trying to help kids, widows, lepers, blind people, all these things they're trying to do. So here today, just three short reflections on what I've learnt there that I think we need to start applying in Australia, because we're starting to feel like aliens and strangers. And the first one for me is possibly the most important, and this is what it is. Constantly affirming who God is. Consistently and constantly. When you're there, I think Liz said it, they're always talking the talk, aren't they, Liz? I mean, when you're there, they will constantly be giving thanks to God, praising God, saying how God good is. They're constantly reminding each other of who God is. I mean, they're doing this all the time because they know it doesn't feel like it, right? They know that they're getting persecuted at times. They know the culture doesn't agree with them. The culture doesn't accept them. So they're constantly reminding each other of who God is and what He's done. Because whenever there's trouble in your life, the enemy whispers lies about who you are and about who God is. And so how do you survive as a stranger and an alien? You consistently and constantly remind yourself and you remind each other of who God is. You do that through lots of different ways. Even Bright in India, his end of his year, he wanted, after a difficult year, instead he wanted to thank God for making it a beautiful year. And then his New Year's post was this. This is Bright in India, his New Year's post. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything in creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Love that verse. So already, as strangers and aliens, what they do is they're constantly just reminding the promises of God. What does God say about me? What does God say about you? So important. There's lots of ways you can do this. I'm not perfect at it, but I try lots of different little ways with writing verses on bits of paper. If you come in my office, you'll see a chalkboard, and sometimes every day I change it. Sometimes I leave a verse for a week, but I just keep putting scripture around and just, God, keep reminding me of who you are and who I am, because the enemy's there whispering lies to me. And the world's telling me I don't fit in anymore. And so, God, keep telling me how you are. One of the key ways we do this is with music. One of the reasons we sing worship songs is just because God deserves all the glory. Amen? I mean, one of the reasons you sing is because God is God and we're not God, and so we're going to sing His praises because He deserves it. But one of the other main reasons we sing is to remind each other and keep singing about these words that we hope will sink into our hearts of who God is and what He's done. I've got a bit of a go-to song for me last year. We've sung it already this morning. Thanks, Marley. She didn't know that was in the sermon. And it was this song that we've already sung this morning. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And it's kind of been my go-to song last year. Whenever I was feeling worried about things, whenever I was stressed, whenever, you know, we all face difficulty, don't we? Some of you know some of our difficulties last year with courts and all these things. Whenever I was feeling worried and thinking, oh, it's God's lost control, I'd put this song on and I'd just say, no, no, God, this is who I am, right? Amen? I'd just say, right, this is who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm not a child of fear. So music is one way we do this. And I know there's some people seem to love music and maybe there's some that don't like it as much, but I want to challenge those that aren't really enjoying it to start praying that God would help you to enjoy it, because I think it's a powerful way of reminding us who God is. You might have heard Pastor Nathan from H2O on Rema, and I'll paraphrase. He'll say it much better than me, but he says something along the lines of this. It can't be right for grown men to go to the football and be joyful and cheer and clap and then come to church and celebrate Jesus with their hands in their pocket. He says, how is that right? How is that right? And maybe that's a challenge for you to start thinking about your attitude to worship music even. It's only one part. But what we've got to do is, in the midst of a world that's starting to say, you're wrong, you don't fit in, we've got to start just reminding ourselves, you've got to do your own work, and then we've got to help each other, right? You know that, don't you? The church, it says, encourage each other, doesn't it? All the more as you see the day approaching of Jesus' return. Don't give up meeting together. So you've got to do some of your own work. You've got to work out how you're going to put Bible promises around in your head, in your phone, in your walls. You've got to work out how to do that through worship music. And then we've got to work out how we're going to do with each other. So that more and more, as we feel like strangers, we're going to keep saying, no, this is who God, I know what God's like. Oh, they can tell me that I don't fit in or that I'm wrong, but let me tell you what I know about God. Always love. So that's the first thing I see what they're doing in India that we've got to make sure we're doing. Constantly reminding each other of who God is. The next thing I think when you feel like a stranger is you've got to do this. Love all people, but speak the truth boldly. You've got to do these two things. And what's happening in churches around Australia, some people are doing one of these things. Some people have decided, well, what we've got to do is we've got to love all people. So we've got to compromise the message. Maybe we don't preach about a few things. I mean, what's Pastor Matt doing having a sermon tonight on hell? I mean, that's not PC. I mean, you shouldn't talk about that, Pastor Matt. You know, there's some churches that say, well, what we've got to do is we've got to love people. So we've got to make sure the message is not too harsh, you know, like let's... And then there's others that say, well, it's all about the message. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to just tell everyone, you're all going to hell. You're hungry? I don't care. You're going to hell. Yeah. You need some help? I don't care. Go to hell. And somehow what we've got to do in a world where we're strangers is we've got to do both these things. Now, there is a problem, isn't there? There's a problem because the world can't accept, well, a lot, I'm finding in our culture that people can't accept that you can disagree with them but love them. Anyone else finding that? That you disagree with them, well, you hate them, you're a bigot, you're a racist, I don't know what you are. You pick the label. And so it's getting very hard. Now, do you think in India that Bright gets this and the Indian orphanage? The Hindus don't like them. They say everything bad about them. So what do they do? Well, they just keep loving and they keep speaking the truth. Again, I was thinking this morning what Liz said last night, how they talk the talk and, you know, they're in a place where they've been persecuted by the Hindus, but we get picked up by the airport the first time I went with a bus down the side that says, Jesus is Lord, down the side of the bus, you know. And so what they do in India is they just keep loving people and they don't go, when a widow or an orphan comes to their door, they don't go, oh, are you Hindu, Muslim or Christian? Hindu? Oh, sorry. Off you go. No, they say, you're hungry, come in, we'll feed you. You need somewhere to stay, come in, we'll help you. They come and serve all those people. But then when the people come in, they say, let me tell you what I know about Jesus. I'm not going to force it, but you know, we're going to talk about it, we're going to pray about it, you're going to learn about it. We're going to speak about it in the streets, we're going to drive buses around that have Jesus' name on them. And what do they do when people come against them and all these things? Well, they just keep doing it. And this is what we've got to do, right? People are not accepting that we can disagree, that we can have a voice of truth, and we can still love people. So when they disagree, what are we going to do? We're just going to keep loving and we're going to keep speaking. Yes? You with me? Even if they think, they say, well, you're not really doing it the right heart. Well, I'm not accountable to them. I'm accountable to God. Yes? And I'm going to keep doing it. And so when they don't accept it, when they put us down, I'm just going to keep on loving people and I'm going to keep on preaching the truth. And when they say you can't do that, I'm going to keep on loving people and keep preaching the truth. And when they say I don't want to be your friend anymore, I'm just going to keep on seeking to love people and keep speaking the truth. You with me on this? This is how you live as a stranger in the world. You don't compromise either way. You don't compromise and say, well, you know what, we're just going to have a harsh message all the time. But you don't also compromise and go, well, we're just going to love people and just be very careful what we say. What you do is you stay the course of Jesus Christ and you keep loving people and you keep trying to love them if they'll accept it, but you keep speaking what is true. Galatians 1:10, I'm not seeking the approval of man, I'm seeking the approval of God. So that's the second thing they do. The first thing they do is we just got to keep reminding each other who God is and the truth of who God is. We've got to keep speaking it, singing it, enjoying it. And then we've got to make sure we get this balance of just keep trying to love people, even if they don't accept it. Keep trying to love people, but make sure we're willing to also speak. And here's the third thing I think we need to keep in mind. And there's probably, you could probably come up with a list of another 20, but we're only just going to think of three this morning. Pass that one. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Keep calm. God is still in charge. What am I getting onto here? What am I talking about? Because we live in a nation that's, in a sense, rejected God's rule over our governments and over our institutions, right? We don't just give up on that government and on our nation, on our leaders, okay? So we don't kind of go, okay, so, well, they've got some policies we don't like, well, we're just going to reject them. What we do is we start praying for our leaders, yes? We start going to government as people, as groups of people. You've got to stand up for this. We've got to start lobbying the government for godly values, don't we? So you don't give up on the government, but we remember that our government is not the kingdom of God. And often I see even Christians who have somehow so closely aligned their political system or whatever it is with the church that they think they're one and the same. Now, we see it even more so in America, don't we, in different ways. So what you do is when you live as strangers is you do lobby the government, you speak up for Christian, for godly values, you try your best to defend the rights of the poor and needy and say, this isn't right. But you also keep calm and you realize that the kingdom of God is not built on human government systems. Amen? And in case you didn't know this was true, in case you don't believe me, think I'm making it up, this was Jesus. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. There's Jesus himself saying, look, I'm not a political system. Stand up for what is good and right. Absolutely, Christians should be doing that. But you can't force anyone into faith anyway. The church tried that through the Middle Ages, didn't they? With some crusades and things, and that really went well, didn't it? That's atheists love bringing up that every time if I chat with an atheist. What about the Crusades, you know? Did you know that the Baptist Church, one of the key beliefs of the Baptist Church is the separation of church and state. One of the things that Baptist churches began on is that we're not about forcing people to become Christians. You can't do that. It's a spiritual thing. But what we've got to do is we've got to lobby government. So when you're a stranger in the land, you keep saying to the government, and I sometimes worry about my friend Bright in India because he's quite outspoken on social media against the Prime Minister of India and some of the political systems. And I'm thinking, Bright, you're going to get yourself in trouble again. You know, but he's like, well, no, I'm going to stand up for what is right and good. But he knows that God is not tied up in some political system. And so don't get in a panic when you're living as strangers and thinking, well, it's all fallen apart because the kingdom of God is not a political system or a government. I've been reading through Chronicles, which is an interesting read. It can be challenging. But I read this verse last week. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of some of the things. What does it say? You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Kingdom of God's not rising and falling on any government. And so when you're a stranger in your land, you lobby government for the things that you think, you know, I'm going to stand up for what is fair and right. You do that. But you also keep calm because the kingdom of God is not an earthly government. So here we are. Now, maybe you don't feel like a stranger yet. There's probably the younger generations who have grown up with some of this and they don't feel it as much, whereas some of those that have seen, right, that used to be like Christian was kind of the normal thing, wasn't it? And now it's not. We're starting to feel like strangers and aliens. And so let's learn from Christians, not just in India, but all around the world in countries where they're persecuted and they've been living as strangers and aliens. Let's learn from the Bible. Start reading your New Testament anew and start going, okay, so this is how the church did it when they were strangers and aliens. They weren't the ruling party. They weren't the dominant culture, but they knew how to live by faith. So we've got to remind each other of who God is, keep talking about his promises, keep affirming God. We've got to love people but speak the truth, and we've just got to keep doing it even when people think it's not right how we're doing it or what we're saying. We've just got to keep doing it. Keep loving people, keep speaking the truth. And we've got to lobby governments for godly values, but we've got to say that's not the kingdom of God. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. This is what Jesus said. And we'll finish up with this in a moment. Maybe if the team, the music team, would like to come up ready and get set up. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace in this world. And then what does he say? You will have what? Trouble. Oh, come on, Jesus. Couldn't he say, you will have everything perfect? He says that in Revelation. That's still to come. That's on the heaven talk next week. He says, in this world you will have trouble. But then he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Turn to someone around you and tell them, I'm an overcomer. Come on. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I don't know if you noticed in the Bible reading that we read, and we haven't sort of gone through all the verses of 1 Peter today, a bit of a different talk as we head to India, but if you go home, it's got the introduction where he says, to the strangers in the land. And then the next section is all about affirming who God is. And it says you've got an inheritance that can't be changed. It says it's locked in, it's guaranteed in Jesus Christ. You're an overcomer. And so we've got to live like this in this world, realizing there's going to be difficulty, but you know what? I'm an overcomer. I'm a part of God's family. I'm loved by the King. I'm a child of God. Can't be changed. It's locked in Jesus Christ. So let's learn to live as strangers. Let's get on our knees and pray for revival. Maybe the church in Australia will rise up. The church in Australia will kneel down. And maybe revival will come. Let's pray that happens. But in our lifetime, if the new normal is a stranger, what are we going to do? Remind us of God's promises all the time. You're going to do your own work, aren't you? Start writing down some promises. We're going to remind each other. We're going to love people but speak the truth. We're going to lobby governments for what is right, but we're not going to live in fear because the kingdom of God is not an earthly government. Let's pray and let's celebrate in song. Heavenly Father, we just want to recognize there is some hurt and some even a sense of fear at times and worry when we look around our culture. And we see that Christian values and Christian truth is not held in high esteem. In many places, it's not even welcome anymore. And that saddens us, God, and it concerns us for the generations that are coming through now in our nation. It concerns us for our own children and grandchildren. It concerns us, God, because we know there's many people that are not talking about what is true and right and good. We know there are laws being made in our nation that are not true and right and good. But Lord, in the midst of that, in the midst of starting to feel like we don't fit in as Christians, would you help us to have confidence? Help us to have confidence that we are overcomers in the name of Jesus. We overcome fear and doubt. We can overcome that anxiety and we can have the peace of Jesus Christ. And one day, Jesus, you're going to return and we are going to be seen as victorious overcomers. And then we won't be strangers no longer. We will be seen to be children of God and perfect. So God, we just want to pray you'd help us by the power of your Spirit not to live in fear, but to live in boldness and courage. Help us to keep loving people, even when people think we're not doing it how they'd like. Help us, God, just to keep doing it. Keep loving people, but also to keep preaching the truth. We need your help, God, because we're starting to feel like strangers in our land. In Jesus' name, amen.